Jesus, we want to look to you this morning. Lord, to thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, that when there was not a way for us, you provided that way. Walked up a hill that we were not able to walk up. Paid a price that we weren't able to pay. Lord, it's because of those things that you wrought, Lord, that we sit here and stand here in this place this morning, Lord, with blessed opportunity to hear thy gospel and to enter into thy presence, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this people. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We just want to bow our hearts to you and just bow our heads to the dust of the earth and ask God for your blessings upon this gathering this morning. Lord, that thy word would come and speak to our hearts, each one of us from front to back, Lord, that you would speak and lead and guide. And Lord, just set our feet on your pathway of righteousness even more firm. We know, God, that you will have your way today, that you purposed it from the foundation of the world. And so, Lord, we just give you the liberty now to come and speak and just cause our hearts to be in your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, it's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I know I say it quite often, but we are a very blessed people. Amen. We are blessed to have a place of assembly, but most of all, we're blessed to have a desire and a heart to serve God. Because there's millions out there that either don't want to serve God or they are led off into something that's some man-made something. And so I still thank God for sending a message in this day to get our feet on the right pathway. And God still has a bride in this end time that's going to be that perfect bride. Now, I can look at myself in the mirror, and maybe you could look at me, and vice versa. We might not think that we're perfect people, but we're not compared to one another's opinion. We're compared to God's Word. We're compared to what He purposes, and what He's got the book, and He checks off. Okay, whether you pass the grade or not. And so the scripture said that he would have a people that would pass the grade. Right. And so it's not going to be the way I necessarily look at it, or maybe you, but it'll be the way the Word of God is. And so we can have confidence in that, knowing that he is working something in us. I was sharing with someone a couple of days ago that, and maybe my wife yesterday, I think, but coming from Pentecost and being around the message and so forth, we have this idea that anytime God's going to do something, that lightning's going to flash and thunder's going to roll and somebody's going to raise up in the Spirit and prophesy, and somebody else is going to raise up in the Spirit and interpret, and the place is going to be shaken, and great miracles are going to happen right in front of us. And God does do that sometimes, and He can do that. We want to give Him opportunity to do that and yield ourselves in that way. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time, 99.999% of the time, God does something and we don't even know it.
That's right. Right.
And then maybe he allows us later to turn around and he shows us what it was, and we realize, you know what, God did that and we didn't even know it. But a lot of times we don't know it at all. And we also find out that a lot of times when we just think it's us, God will turn around and show us that what we decided to do was actually the hand of the Lord, when we just thought it was us. Because the footsteps of the righteous are what?
Ordered.
They're ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
And so I'm going to be speaking today about eternal leadership, and I'm going to be talking about the magnitude of God's presence in our life and how we should recognize that and how we should have confidence in that and throw ourselves to that eternal leadership. So, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 6. We're glad for the mercy of the Lord, His grace, and it help us. You know, we have a lot of phrases in the message that are cliches, a lot of things we just say. Sometimes we don't really stop and think about what the magnitude of it really is, but like this morning, we were talking about Ben's got a little problem with his eyes right now. He's got pink eye, and so he's having to put some stuff in his eyes, you know. And he said something about his eyes. He had to pry them open this morning. I said, you need some coon grease. And so then I got to thinking about it. Of all the times I've read that in the scripture, and I was thinking, well, Brother Branham, they had coon grease in their day, but the scripture talked about eye salve.
That's right.
They had eye salve. It didn't dawn on me. They had ISAB. They knew about something back then. So evidently there was a condition and something that they needed. And so God picks that up and parallels that in the scriptures, see? And so sometimes, you know, we miss some of the cliches and little things that we maybe take for granted or whatever. We miss those things sometimes. But and so I know in God's own way, he has his own sense of humor, and that God has a chuckle once in a time, and I know that we do too. And so Brother Daniel's right. We should be happiest people, especially today, yeah, on the day that God has made for us. Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading at verse 1. And there's been a few times that that we read this. I'll quote this around the house or whatever. But anyway, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is their respect of persons with him." Let's pray just another time. Lord Jesus, we just ask God for your presence just to fill this place, Lord, that you would let your Holy Spirit come and speak to our hearts, Lord. We live, Lord, in such a desperate hour, such a tremendous time, and we know, God, that if there has ever been a day that a people needs to be anointed of thy Spirit and to take the word and let it be quickened in our life, Lord, it's now.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we want you to come this morning and speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart, Lord. And not just to say, well, we had church today, but Lord, may we go today and say we had church. Lord, that you come and spoke to us and that our hearts burned within us as the two that went to Emmaus. But let this time not be a wasted time, Lord, a time where your presence comes and your word is open, Lord, and our hearts are edified and God, eternal things are placed within our experience that we can go on and walk in the days to come. We ask, God, that you'd help us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Wanted to mention that Tom Morris is coming this next weekend. His brother David Morris is his brother. David Morris is the pastor there in Walnut Ridge, I guess is where it's at. But anyway, he'll be with us Saturday night and Sunday morning for Saturday night service at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning at your regular time. We want to remember that. We also want to remember the picnic next week. And we want you to come out and be involved in that. Have fellowship. Brother Ram said we need fellowship.
That's right.
And we do. We need fellowship. We have a church family, and we need to draw strength from one another. And we can't draw strength from the world. We can't interact with the world in the way that we can each other. I know we need to interact with the world to be a blessing to them and to draw them and to be a testimony to them. But, you know, there's time we need to spend together to draw strength and comfort from one another because we are a body. So I want to encourage you to be there, Sister Pansy. If you wish to come up, we'll find you a place to stay. If you'd like to spend the night, we certainly will provide it for you. We don't want anyone to be left out. And so you just pray that the Lord will provide good weather for us and that everything will work out the way he would want. Eternal leadership. You know, and this morning in this, I want to say this, that if anything's going to get done, God's going to be the one to do it. I think by the time I get through today, you'll probably realize even more so what I mean by that. And I hope that it comes out well. I hope that's something that you go home with today, because in everything that's done, if anything's going to get done right, or it's going to get done at all for the kingdom of heaven, what I'm talking about, it's going to be God that's doing it. We come into this world in shaping sin and speaking lies and that sort of thing, and they're really laying in the human person, in ourselves. There's nothing in us that was wanting to have anything to do with the kingdom of heaven. We didn't know the plan of God. We didn't know the program of God in ourselves. And every nature that laid in us was to rise up and do something that wouldn't even be part of the kingdom of heaven, wouldn't be something that would benefit the kingdom of heaven. And so if we weren't going to do it, right? Laying right here in our flesh today as Christians, laying in our flesh, there's not one thing in there that can rise up to benefit the kingdom of heaven. And so, and then if our spiritual man, if our mind is not anointed with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God, then again, we won't think a good thought. You know, we wouldn't go that direction. And so, you know, it's kind of like when we talk about two-thirds of the angels, a third of the angels being kicked out and that sort of thing, and you find out, you break it down into humans being three parts, you know, into three different thirds, and it's kind of parallel those things a little bit. But you find out that we just didn't have what it took to get anything done for God. It wasn't part of us. So God had to come. I think I heard Lonnie say it one time, and in his own way, but when we're all come that way and shaped in sin and all that sort of thing, then were we headed to God? No, we weren't. So if God didn't get involved, how many would be saved? There wouldn't have been. Right? There wouldn't have been any. And so if anything gets done, it's going to be because God does it. Now, God sent us here to this earth. And I know that. We're here because He sent us. And I know that most of us spend our time thinking, well, I think my daughter asked me last night, she said, when you were younger, she said, did you ever... I forget the way she said it, but was I ever interested, or did I try to dress in fashion and that sort of thing, you know? And, you know, because all of us in our natural man without God, you know, it all lays in that direction, and we want to live, and we do cater to the fashions of the world. We do want to measure up to the eyes of the world and that sort of thing. It just lays within us to do that. I come from a poor family, so we didn't have a lot. And so it wasn't until I got older and had my own job that I could actually buy the pair of jeans that I wanted. I had to take whatever I had, whatever was provided elsewhere for me. And so, but yes, the answer was yes. What laid within me was the same desire to measure up with the world like the world did. So whatever the fads of the world is, you know, if they want to, if the world wants, and I think you'll find the message tells us this, but if the world wants the men to have long hair, you better not want to have long hair, because if you're running in that same direction, you're probably running in the same thing the world is. If the world says, well, shave your head, all you men, shave your head. If that's the fad of the world, we probably better not have that, because, see, it runs in those directions. So whatever the world's doing, we certainly don't want to be caught up in that. And so the answer was yes. God sent us here, and we come into this world, and we're here because He sent us. And yet we come in this world in a fallen nature. When we know the message tells us that when throughout the ages, that for me to be here today and for you to be here today with the right nature, with the right attitude, or with in other words, the purpose that God wanted you to be today, in order for you to be here like this now, we know that God started way back before you ever come, with your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and really we could go all the way back to the very beginning, that God started way back there, and it was through hundreds of marriage unions. Now, this one over here coming and marrying and them having children, then they come and marry someone else and another group, and it comes all the way down through what we call a family tree until, voila, you come on the scene and you've got a certain nature and a certain characteristics about you. And I'm not talking about fallen nature, that lays in all of us, but I'm talking about what God's purpose was. That he actually, way back there, was arranging those unions and those marriages and bringing and putting all together. And he had you in mind. And he was saying, look, when they get here, I want them to have a nature, to have a hunger in them for the word that I'm going to deliver in their day. And so God started way back here and was bringing you down, both physically and spiritually, into this world so that you'd be what he wanted you to. And the reason why I said that about the fashion thing was because most of us come in this world, I don't think there's ever been a person that looked in the mirror and said, man, I am so pleased with what I look like. Most of us have all said, you know, I wish I had broader shoulders or bigger muscles or a deeper voice or, you know, and I don't know, the sisters probably have ideas about my nose is too big or whatever. But we all probably said, you know what, I'm not happy with what I think. What I am, I think I should be a little bit different. But you see, the what you are is what God made you to be. And I think there's something to that. When Jesus said, you know, you can't make one hair on your head either black or white.
Right.
And just as a chuckle, I could say, well, but my children can make my hair white. But he said, you can't do that. Well, you can color your hair, but guess what? In a few weeks, it's growing out. You didn't color it. It wasn't. See, so you can't make yourself be different. Yeah, you can go get some sort of surgery and something like that and change your physical appearance of your face and all that, and you wind up looking like the Joker. But I'm serious. That fake, canned, you know, rock hard appearance. And what am I saying? Is, yeah, you can try to alter the plan of God. But you come up with some fake something.
Right.
You come up with something that the world might think is great, and they just kind of walk through the graveyard whistling, thinking it's wonderful. But the reality is that God started way back there to bring you here to be what he wants you to be. And we're better off if we stay with what he made us to be.
Amen.
Both physically, but as we'll see in this morning, in spiritually speaking. And so we find out that through hundreds and hundreds of unions and all kinds of who knows what all, God brought us here. Brother Branham says like this in a message called Influence. He said, a doctor told me, he said, I cannot believe the story of Christ because I can't believe in the virgin birth. He says, I don't believe there is such a thing. Brother Branham said, and I said, the natural birth is more mysterious to me than the virgin birth. The natural birth. To see how it happens and how it's decided. He said, which egg, when there's 1,000 germs, 1,000 eggs? And he said, not the first two that meet, that doesn't settle it. He said, but maybe you say, well, the two in front. He said, no. He said, it'll stand. One may raise up in the germs in the very back of the sperm, and he said, or maybe from over to the side in the middle one of the egg, they come together, and he said, that's what determines whether it's going to be girl or boy, black-headed, red-headed, blue eyes, or whatever it's going to be. And Brother Branham said, something makes that decision. Something makes the decision of which one it's going to be and how it comes out that way. And he said, then the rest of them is done away with. And so what you find out when you look at that, I think I heard Harold Beckett say this. He said, you won the race in your mother's womb. And we know a prophet comes along and said, well, we're one in a million. That, you know, that if the rapture happened today and there were so many 100 million Christians, there's only probably 100 Christians that would go in the rapture because it's kind of that ratio. And he said, I'm not making the doctrine out of it or whatever, but it's kind of like that. There was, you know, in the days of Noah and all that sort of thing. And so it is a large number of people, but only a small group that actually goes. And so what you want to look at here when we're speaking on that is that, yes, you won the race in your mother's womb. You are already an overcomer. You're already one in a million. With all the chaos and all the things that could have happened, you survived all of those things. That's why you're here.
Right.
And so I'm saying that because I want you to go back and I want you to look at as in all the ages, when this one was marrying over here and that one there, and it come together, it was your great-great-grandparents and then your grandparents and all that. As all that's coming down through there, there was tremendous amount of chaos and carnage and wars and death and incest and all kinds of things that was just exploding all around what God was doing to bring you here. All of this stuff was going on, and it'd be like out in the field, out in the war, and explosions going off all around you, all these people and dead bodies flying everywhere, and you make it through. You make it through. And so Brother Ram said, all the rest of them, they're cast away. But he said, there's something that makes that decision. There's something that makes it so that this one that come on the scene would have red hair or black hair, it'd be boy, it'd be girl, it'd be here in this hour and have a desire for what the message of this hour is, when all the other thousands around him got blown up in some other chaos of some religion or whatever it might be, but not this one. This one didn't have, why? Because something decided about this one. It would be here.
Right.
And so that's what he was relaying to us in that. And he said that the natural birth was more mysterious to him than the virgin birth. Because here's all this happening, and there's other quotes about it, where how that he said in an unveiling to God, he said that's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, and this one to that one, and this one to that one, until he got exactly what he wanted. And he talked about how that's what God did. God came down and unveiled himself in the pillar of fire through the prophets, and then into the Son of God. And so he's showing how that God was working through the prophets and doing all these things until he finally brought it to what he wanted. And Brother Bram goes on and says, that's the way he's done through the church ages. He's done the same thing. He works and moves, and he's bringing it to something that's his perfect will. And though there's chaos all around, God's purpose is still working right in the middle of that. And so this is what he's talking about. And so, through all that, God sent us here, through all that chaos, with a divine plan of how it all happened, brought us here to be His child, to be His children, and to be here in this day to represent Him in this day. God did that.
Amen.
And so, through all the failures of humanity, through all the false religions, all the things that the Catholic Church did, through all the wars and all the chaos that's been throughout all the ages and wherever our ancestors come from, through all that chaos, in the midst of all that, if you looked at it like just a boiling cauldron of water, everything was just exploding and becoming, in all that, God had you. That God had me. We were coming just as sure as anything. And that World War II, World War I, those wars couldn't touch you and I.
Right.
Not because we're anything in ourselves, but because God purposed that we would be here in this day. If you remember, that war started, the first one, stopped on November 11th at 11 a.m. in the morning to make way for the 11th hour people, according to the parable of Jesus. There was the parable where they went out to work and got hired, and they worked, all the different ones come out, and they got hired at different times through the day and went out and worked in the same field. And then it would be the 11th hour, so they worked 12-hour shifts back then, I guess, but the 11th hour, which would be 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they end at 6. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the master of the field went out and found somebody else, it was other people out there, and said, why are you out here? Why aren't you working? He said, well, nobody's hired. He said, well, you go, and I'll pay you what is good, what you deserve. And so then at 6 o'clock, he starts handing out the money, and he gave to those that had been there 1 hour the same price that he had agreed to pay the rest of them that had been there all day. The agreement was ahead of time. Well, the people who had been there all day thought they would get more because they had worked longer, and they were aggravated. Remember the parable?
Right.
But so Brother Branham comes along, and I think it was in what is the Holy Ghost, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm not sure, seal of God, something like that. He was preaching, and he said, I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit to be on the platform to reveal this to me. And he said that 11th hour, that 11, 11, 11, was to make room for that 11th hour people, meaning that this Gentile dispensation was just about over with, and yet God had one more hour of people. We might be the weakest, the wimpiest of all generations when it comes to physical things, and we may not have to pay the price as far as like they did back then. So we ain't had to work very hard. But he promised you and I that we could have eternal life. And that group still had to come on this earth. And that war, see, it's headed that way. That war would have destroyed. That war would have stopped it. But God put a stop to it to make room for that people, right, you and I. See what I'm saying? Though it was all kinds of explosions and everything that was going on, chaos, I don't care what that is, what it looks like, God's got you and I coming through the midst of all that, and we'll be there just as sure as anything. Because he said we would. And so even if he has to stop a war and everybody's looking around, who called that ceasefire? Well, I don't know. Well, somebody did. God did. The angel come down and said, hold it. Right? That's what the scripture said. Hold it. Make room for this. You know, we've got to seal some people here.
Right.
And so we know it went forth, and there was the 144,000 was going to be sealed. There was a multitude which no man can number was going to be sealed, and that sort of thing. And so, in the midst of all that chaos and all that human failure, God sent us and brought us here anyway, and it's a work of his hand to hold a predestinated position that we have in this hour. And so what I want to show you in this, when we're talking about eternal leadership this morning, in all of that, and I'm going to bring this down into your walk, your personal walk now, because all of that, that's your day. That's your walk. We have chaos and all kinds of failures and problems and aggravations and things that we know that we look at and say, how could God have glory in that? And in the midst of all that, there's still a purpose of God in your life.
That's right.
And so, in all of that, if God's got a people that were preserved through all the wars and through all the ages, and he was bringing moms and dads together in unions and all that to bring you here, then in all of that, there was a purpose of God in that. Regardless of what it looked like, there was a purpose of God in it. And there was an element in all that that was him. This is what I want you to think of. Jesus tells us, and even the message, we hear that a man and his message are one and the same, right? And Jesus said, well, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So as God's people coming down through all ages, there's an element of God in that. And that element of God being that it's his work and his handiwork and his workmanship, then it actually carries this ability that you can look at that and say, that's God. Not just work of God, because he is his very work. There's an element of God in all that. An element of eternal life that's in all that. And that's why it can't be defeated, because it is something that God does. And I hope we understand that there's only one form. There's only one form of eternal life.
Right.
There's really only one form of life. Now, we call it eternal life, but I'm just trying to make it clear. There's really only one form of anything that's really right, and that's God. There's only one form of anything that ever is done right, lived right, thought right, and it comes from God. Because every good gift, every perfect gift, not just some good gifts and some, but every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. They're not down here unless it comes from him. You see what I'm saying? That's the magnitude. That's the difference. That's all God wants to do through this plan is not to force us to say, oh, you know, he's the only one. But we look around and we see, you know what? I have surveyed the situation. I've looked in my life. I've looked in everybody else's life. I've looked in the world. And I find none, no, not one. If there's anything good in us, it's got to come from him.
Amen.
I've come to that conclusion. And so what I have to do is, and I hope you do in this, through this morning, is to look at, no matter whether it's the world or whatever it is, through all the chaos, and find that part of it in there that's Him. And I'll tell you that that is eternal leadership. That is taking us somewhere that's God's purpose. And there's an element of God, an element of eternal leadership in that. And so we find out that it's all in Him, and that's Him. Now, with all that, saying all that, do we really think that God can't take care of us?
Think about it.
He can take care of us. He is taking care of us. He has provisions for us. We find out in God's program that, we never, as God's people, every person, I guess you could say this, but especially God's people, we never reach a place where we don't have responsibilities we have to answer to, that's our responsibility. We don't reach a place like that. We'll always be, as long as we're here, and I'll tell you, when we get over there, more so, because, you know, the parable says they're faithful here, then give them more. Right? They're faithful here, then give them more. And I know, and so the here, they're faithful, this is what we're talking about. This is this world, this is what we're here to, is that we're here for a purpose. We have been given something to watch over, to be faithful with,
right.
And we are responsible for that. And then from that, we graduate to greater responsibility or something, and when we go into the next world, and we understand it as character building or whatever. But you see, in that, there's responsibilities, and there's decisions that we make, and there's consequences to those decisions. And in this life, we'll never get away from that.
Right.
Brother Daniel could say, you know what, I'm discouraged. I'm just going to leave. I don't want to influence anybody bad, anything like that. I'm just going to leave and go up into the mountains. And I'm just going to live out in the woods, and I won't talk to nobody, and I won't come in contact with anybody. And that way I won't influence anybody. Wrong.
Right.
By the sheer fact of him doing that, he would influence.
Right.
You know, you could say, well, you know, I want a certain thing to take place, but I don't want to tell people that I want it to take place. So I'll just, you know, I'll go over here and I'll do something else, you know. I'll just sit quiet. You know, let's take, for instance, it just comes to mind, the picnic next weekend. Let's say, you could say, well, I don't really want to go to that picnic, but I don't want to tell everybody in the church I don't want to go to the picnic. And I'm not using this for any, trying to make sure that you're there next weekend. You do whatever you need to do. But at least you could say, well, you know, I really don't want to go to that picnic, but I don't want people, I don't want to tell the people I don't want to be there. So I'll tell you what, I'll just sit quiet and I just won't participate. I'm not going to tell them I don't want to be at that. I'll just be quiet. Well, just the fact that you're quiet and you don't do something says a lot. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. Brother Daniel, he could just say, well, I won't say nothing. He'd go off out into the mountains and he's not going to touch lives, and everybody's going to say, well, it basically would leave people's imaginations for the devil to say whatever he wants. So you understand what I'm saying is sometimes you can say very, very loud things by your quietness, by your lack of enthusiasm, your lack of something like that. And so those things, we have these responsibilities that we have to answer to. And sometimes just by not being engaged, we're sending out influences, even though we don't want to. We think we're not. So what I'm trying to show us there is that you can't get away from it. You cannot get away from responsibilities, and you cannot get away from the fact that eyes are watching and people are influenced.
Right.
And so you'll always have decisions that need to be made, and there will always be consequences to those decisions. Because what I'm talking about, this is the core or the engine behind what we call building of character. Character building. Character is a victory, not just something that's given to you. So, were you here? We are here. Now, I'm trying to marry this together. When I said we come down through all the chaos, there was an element of God in there to bring us here. But I want to show you that now that we're here, we have responsibilities. And there's consequences, and we're here to gain character. We're here for the forming of God in us. And so we're in a place where we are responsible, we have responsibilities, we have decisions we have to make and consequences to those, and we can't get away from that because that's the character building process. But we can't get away from that. There is a there in this place, we'll always have wake behind us. And I've used that several times in services previously, that when a boat goes out across the water, there's this tidal, this wave of his influence, and that touches everything, every place on the lake. Eventually that water hits the shore, and every little boat, every vessel out there on that lake gets shook by just even the smallest little boat. It's just a little bitty boat that can hold two men that Ben and I have been using. You go out on the lake, and just the littlest thing that you do sets out a wave. And that wave travels all the way in all directions.
Right.
And so that's called wake. And so there's decisions we make, and there is wake to those decisions. It affects everyone else on the pond. That's what I'm saying. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it affects everyone on the pond. And so we'll always be in this position where, while we're here, we have these decisions, we have responsibilities, there's always, and we can't get away from it, there's always the fact that we have to be led and we have to lead. Every one of us, as I said, you've got weight behind you, you lead. Somebody is influenced by us. Somebody is following us. Whether it be the little ones, brother, sister, might be the guy on the factory line that you don't even know his name, but he's watching it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But you have a responsibility to present and to lead because others are going to follow you.
That's right.
No matter what, others are going to follow you. And so we'll never get away from that while we're here, that we have someone out there that we are leading. And at the same time, there is someone out there, or many someones, that we must follow. And so now, in talking about eternal leadership, what I want to show you is that God comes down into your life. He comes down in Brother Daniel's life, and my life, and the rest of us. God has dropped down out of eternity and has descended into time and has lit upon your life by predestinated planning to bring you here to this hour. He has lit upon your life for the purpose of two things in the scope of this morning's sermon. Two things: to anoint you to follow properly, and to anoint you so you'll lead properly.
Amen.
And that has dropped down into our life is what I'm calling this morning eternal leadership. Because it comes from eternity, and it has come to us. And here's what I'm saying. The Holy Ghost will drop onto your life, and the Holy Ghost influence in your life will cause you to lead properly, and it'll also cause you to follow properly.
That's right.
There are channels that God has created here in your life for you to follow. There are God-given channels for you to follow, and the Holy Ghost in your life will cause you to follow those. That same Holy Ghost will also, in that process, will cause you to be a good leader for those who follow you, because God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost on someone else, has caused them to look to you, and they're actually following you to some extent. Paul said, "You follow me while I follow Christ." Kind of unrehearsed, but let's get Brother Daniel and this brother over here, Matthew. I always have a hard time remembering his name for some reason. Just come up for a stand up here. We are a train, okay? I want you to follow me, and after a little while, I want you to veer off your own direction. Just to illustrate, but and you follow him. Whatever you do, you just follow him, and you get the picture. You already know what I'm going to do. But if I'm walking around like this, Daniel's doing a good job following. But you know what? He's got somebody following him. But you see what happens when he gets off? You see how it works? See, he went off a different direction. So here's the kicker. Thank you, brothers. Here's the kicker behind this. If we don't follow well, we sure won't lead well. Right? If we don't follow, so what am I saying? When God comes down and he drops on us eternal leadership, in other words, his spirit falls upon us and says, follow this. Follow the word. Follow the prophet. Follow the pastor. Follow the mother, the father. Follow the mother. That anointing comes upon each one of us and anoints us to follow. And if we follow properly, those who are looking to us will follow properly. And it goes hand in hand. Another way you've heard us say in the past, and I got this from Jeff Jenkins, I heard him say it years ago, he said, if our vertical relationship, or maybe it was Lonnie, vertical relationship's right, our horizontal will be.
That's right.
If our relationship with God is right, then our relationship with our brothers and sisters will be right. But if we get off on that one, guess what? It will be off. It goes right to the very commandments. Because they say, oh, keep the commandments, all the ten, you know, all these things. You get in the New Testament, you find out that really what the scriptures break it down to, they come to Jesus and you find Paul talking about it. And here's what it boils down to. It says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? With all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these, all the commandments hang, right? You know why? This is the gospel according to Tony. This is how it speaks to me on this. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't have a real relationship with God and love God with all your heart. Yeah. But if you do love God with all your heart, then you will love your neighbor yourself.
Right.
And if you've got those, then all the rest of it will take care of it, because all of the rest of them you won't do. You won't covet your neighbor's wife. You won't steal from your neighbor. You won't kill your neighbor. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you love God, you'll love your neighbor, and if you have those two, you won't do those other things.
Right.
You won't make your neighbor work on the Sabbath day. You won't, you know, you'll be right to people. And so that's why it says that. And so when we follow properly, then we lead properly. And if we don't follow properly, we won't lead properly. Now, I can tell you right quick that it lays right in the human nature. It's very easy for us to say, hey, I'm the leader. People are following me. But it's not so easy for us to say, you know, but I've got to make sure I follow properly.
Right.
And there's the thing. We're sheep. We can't be our own leaders. Do you know that? I can't. You say, Brother Tony, you're pastor of the church. I can't be my own leader. I can't lead you if I'm not led, right? And so I have to be careful that I'm being led properly, or I know you won't be led properly. But see, this program I'm talking about drops right down into your life. Parents, mothers, if you don't follow properly, your children won't follow properly. You see what I'm saying? And the presence of God is dropped down through a predestinated plan on each one of us to cause us to find our position so we follow properly and we lead properly. That's what I'm talking about. And so, we can't get away from that. We always have that. Jesus was our perfect role model. You say, well, he was the Word made flesh, and the Word can't fail. Well, he just do whatever he wants. But did you know that even, and you are too, you're the Word made flesh. But you follow the same pattern he is. Jesus said, not my will, thy will, Father. And so you find out Jesus was walking the same pathway that unless he was a good follower, he could not be a good leader in the same sense, you see. And so if Jesus had something that he disagreed with the Father on, then the wake of that disagreement with his Father, that wake would pass on to all his people who followed him. So there couldn't be a flaw in Jesus in the way he followed the will of God. And in him following perfectly and submitting his own ideas and his own will to that eternal leadership in his life, by doing that, what did he do? He purchased redemption for the whole world. And I dare say this, that if there was any one spot in there, it wasn't possible that he could do this, but if there would have been one word, one T not crossed or one I not touched and dotted, where Jesus did not have perfect unity with the Father, one is all it took, all it would take, then he wouldn't have purchased our redemption.
Right.
it would have fell short. Because the same way it was in the garden, one word, and Jesus come along and he passed every word and purchased our redemption in the process. So you find out he was a good example to us, that we must follow him and do what he did, and others will follow us. Now, so this eternal leadership drops down into our lives to act out through us what he wants acted out. Our lives to be led properly and for us to lead properly. He comes down upon us to do that, anoints us to do that. It'll always follow in the channel of the word, that we'll follow after the truth that he's given us, in this hour especially. And what I want to speak of this morning in all this is that for us to realize that these different channels that God has given us, I named them a while ago, following the word and the prophet of the age, following the ministry of the church, following the husband, the wife, all those are channels that God gave to you. I'll go all the way to the bottom, and so just to make it really clear so that nobody can buck against it. The child that's born has been given some channels to follow. One's called dad, one's called mom. The Holy Spirit upon that child's life will cause that child to look diligently to father and mother, to follow them properly. And that concept right there, that very at the very base of the whole thing, very real simple, can't get any simpler than this, that very concept of that child honoring and following father and mother properly ensures them life, long life. Right? We look at those things and think, well, it's just, you know, one of the commandments, yeah, honor. No, it's a commandment with promise. Why? Because that same pattern, you can take it and go all the way up the tier and just keep going, all the way to God himself. That if that concept is there to follow properly, then life will be in the midst of it and we will lead properly. And so that child has been given channels. It's mom and dad. Mom's been given a channel in the home. It's the dad. That's right. Mom's been given the channel in the home to go to the dad, and she's not even given the right to go beyond dad to the ministry without dad being involved. That's what the scripture shows, see? And so the dad's got a channel. We all have, all of us in our own way, a channel of the word, but there are those that God places in our life. Now, there comes a time when the child says, I don't want to listen to my mom and dad. It happens. Called teenage years or whatever, it happens. One of the worst places in a child's life. Through all the ages that they're here on earth, one of the worst stages, they'll all come back and look back at it later and say, it was terrible. And why was it? Because they bucked against the leadership of their life. A channel that was a God-given, inspired channel there to protect and keep and lead and guide. And here's what I want to get to as we move on is that there's an anointing of God. There's a life. There's a standard that God is acting out in all that. And that child, if you could drop the wisdom into them, they could say, you know what? I want to meet God this morning. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go right straight to the channel that God's given me. I'm going to go right straight to my parents and find out how that I can follow their leadership, because God will meet me in that channel. And if I'm connected to and lead to that one who he has anointed to lead me, if I'm connected to that, life, he'll impart life to me. I'll be so blessed because I'm connected to my channel that he's provided. And you can take that same pattern and go all the way up. Does that make mom perfect? No. Does that make dad perfect? No. But mom and dad, in all the chaos of their life, they're still called. They're still anointed. They're still in the position that God placed them. And God projects himself through them in the midst of all the chaos. And that God that's projecting himself through them is there to meet those who follow them. Right? So if the child dwells on, well, you know, my dad, he forgot, he was supposed to, and he forgot, I can't put any confidence in him, because if you're looking at the flesh of the man,
Well, you get discouraged. But if you look at that and can have that confidence, say, you know what? There is chaos, but I believe God meets me in that. That even though my dad might have forgotten he was going to take me fishing and didn't, and I'm mad at him or whatever it might be, he's still called of God. He's still what God put here for me. And I know God will meet me in that when I obey him. And when I follow after the leadership of him and mom. And so take the same thing. The wife following the leadership of the husband, or the family and the following the ministry of the church, or following the prophet, following the word. The same thing. We look at that and realize there is chaos in it all. With all the stuff we believe the sign. See, look at all the chaos. But God has anointed me to know that in the midst of all of that, there's a channel that he meets me in. There's a channel of truth that he has brought, that he empowers me in this day and this hour with a word for this hour that I know is still God. And so what I'm talking about here is connecting to that eternal leadership. And so it might be the prophet, and I'm not saying the prophet in himself, I'm saying the word that he brought, so we could say the word. It might be the ministry, might be your parents. Little brother and sister, might even be big brother or big sister. But the point is that God has dropped down and he wants us, I'm talking about believers, he wants to anoint our lives to live in such a way that we follow correctly and we lead correctly, and we lead correctly first that we might follow, the others might follow us correctly. Right. And so, now I don't say this. You can say, well, Brother Tony, because you could take this and you could say, well, he just, you know, he wants us just to believe anything he teaches or whatever, you know, and not to. And I say this not to bring fear to you, not to cause you to try and say, well, you know, I bring this because I want you to have a great realization of this eternal leadership that's in your life, that's in my life, of the whole program. I'm not talking about just, well, you know, look at who it is that God has sent to preach to you, and you better line up with what they have to say, or you wives, you better, your husband. I'm not talking about, I'm saying, look at the program. The realization that God is here among us doing this, and he meets us in these channels. And he will bless you thoroughly through those things. And so, it's not to get you to be fearful or something like that, but it's just to understand that if we can connect to this, to these channels of leadership in our life, being the Word, being our parents, being these things, whatever it is, if we can connect to that, God will meet us in that. And if we follow properly in that, we'll certainly, we'll be a good leader. God will anoint us, and others will be able to look to us and follow properly. So in all this, I don't want you to think too much of anyone, okay? I don't want you to think too much of anyone, and yet at the same time, I want you to think very highly of everyone in the body. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Tony? What I want to show you here is we read in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read these verses, verse 5 and verse through 7. I want you to see, and this is what I'm wanting to pull out to you. In verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. He's telling you to obey those who are masters over you, right? And he says, don't you do that to them. The way you do that, you do that, when you look at it, you consider that this is Christ that I'm doing this to. So what he's saying. He goes on to say, not with eye service, in other words, not just to look good among men as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Be genuine in it. Right. So if you find yourself honoring your employer just to look good, but you know your heart's not in it, the scripture said, don't you do that. In other words, right there would be a good time for us to go back and say, God, my heart's not in it. Get my heart into it. Because I want, even my, in this natural world, my, let's say my boss at work, and I'm kind of making me feel funny saying this, with Brother David here, but that's not what I'm talking about, but I mean, it could apply, I guess, if it needed to, but my boss that I have to serve in the natural, I've got to do it according to the Word of God. I've got to be with a genuine heart to do the will that He wants, because in reality, what I'm doing it to Christ, not that man.
Right.
That's what the Word said. It didn't put conditions on it. It didn't say, well, he's not a good supervisor. It didn't say that. It didn't say, well, my dad's not a good dad, or my mom's not a good mom. It didn't say that. Right? The channel's perfect. And God said, I'm going to paraphrase, I don't care if you got the most renegade boss in the world, there's a concept here. Honor that channel, and God will bless you through that channel. And if there's a problem there, God will take care of it.
Right.
In His own time. Now, while that's going on, character's being built in you and I. Right? And I heard Lonnie say this one time. I loved that man, even though I never really got to spend much time with him. But he gave an example. He said, well, this young, some guy says, well, you know, my boss, he don't like me. And, you know, he's got an attitude against me and that sort of thing. And Lonnie said, no. He won't give me a raise or whatever. He said, no, that's not it at all. You got something God's working on. That's why your boss won't give you a raise, because you got something.
Right.
It's not him, it's you.
Right.
And that's the thing it is with each of us. It's not them or him or her, it's me. I'm the one God's working on. Not somebody else. And you have to say the same thing. And that's what he was pointing out. Said, no, it's not somebody else. It's you. God's working on you. And God is in control of all the bosses and all the tools and all the laws and all the prices and everything to work on you. And so God uses the traffic situation in the city. At the end of the day, when you get off work and you want to go home, God uses that traffic to work on you. He does. You got pains, you wake up in your body the next day after working outside all day or something like that. God is in those pains. He uses those to correct or to show you, to lead you, to guide you, to make you realize things. And it does. You know that pains make you realize you're getting older or whatever. But all God has His hands in all that. So He goes on to say here, He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. There it is again. As unto the Lord. And here's what I'm trying to show you. This is the way it appears to me, is that in every one of us that we interact with, there's an element of God that has dropped down into that life. And there's an interaction that I am supposed to have with that element. Whether it's mom or dad, or if it's brothers or sisters in the church of God, whether it's a deacon, whatever it is, God has anointed that life because I know them and I interact with them. Then God has control over that, how that's to affect me. Because He's the great potter and He uses everything to do that. And I look at each one of us and I can say, you know what? God has come down and there is a predestinated purpose in that person's life that God wants me to interact with. And God expects me to have respect for that. Whether it's up or down as far as authority is concerned, to have respect to that. And there is a proper interaction for me to have with that. And that whenever I am engaging with that other person, that I'm really engaging Christ. Because really, the part of that person's life that perishes, that's not real anyway, but there's a part of God in there that won't perish. And that's really what I'm interacting with. Whether it's up or down, whether it's to the ministry of the church or to my children, right? Whatever it is, or whether it's sideways to another brother or sister, there's an element of God. I've just shown you, He come down through all the ages, anointed every one of us. We're here and there's an element of God in us, even though there's chaos all around us. There's an element of God, and that's what I'm to interact with, and you're to interact with each other. Not the flesh part, but the God part.
Right.
And that when I come and I interact properly, to that part, I'm really doing it. I am doing that to Christ. Christ in you. Christ in me. I'm doing that to Him. And so there's that element. And what I want to show you is that, those, all of those things that come down are eternal leadership. I could say this, and maybe my boss is not a Christian. And maybe he might make it hard on me or something. He'll treat me. And maybe he's not a Christian. But I have to look at that and say, you know what? There's God's in that, because if God didn't want that, He wouldn't be there. So then I have to look and say, you know, that's part of the potter's hand putting pressure on me to mold me and make me. And so I have to look at it from that way to realize there's part of the leadership of God. What is the leadership wanting to do? Leadership is wanting to mold me and make me into something different than I am right now. And so He's doing it by my boss. So even though maybe he's not a Christian, there's an element of God's hand in him, and I need to submit to that hand. Right? But I could take a dogmatic thing and say, but he's not a Christian. But the Word of God is saying that's not the way it works. The Word of God tells us that everything around us that we interact with, God has liberty to use that to mold us and make us. And that especially when we interact with brothers and sisters, there's an element of God in them, and all of those things are there present to help lead and guide your life. Because you say, but I'm dad over the home, and this child has to submit to me. And yet there's something in that child's life that has to put pressure on you to help you do the right thing. You see what I'm saying? So we lose this, well, I'm authority and this and that, and whatever. You lose the concept of that and realize that everywhere I look, I'm interacting with Jesus Christ. I'm interacting with God. And all that is here to lead me and guide me to the place I should be. And as that same thing has anointed everyone, as He's anointed me to interact with you and anointed you to interact with me. And so that, to me, is an element of the eternal leadership of God as He comes and wants to live through us. It's only through following properly that we'll find ourselves in the perfect will of God. We're not going to get there by ourselves. So it has to be that we follow. I'll say it like this, you know, in a ministry and counseling with people, sometimes someone come in and sit down and begin to share something with me. And while they're talking and sharing it, myself and me, I go, oh my, what am I going to say? I don't know the answer to this. I don't know where. I'm astounded. Me. But at the same time, I see Him come and anoint my thinking. And then I begin to, you know, it becomes enlightened. There's enlightenment for on the situation. Just a few moments ago, I'm like, I don't know what to say. They're still telling me about it, but I'm scared to death right now. I can't answer this question. But then I find another something that takes place, and I marvel at how He works. Now, here's what I'm getting at. I realize that's a leadership. That God has come and there's a leadership that He's acting out in that way. And I realize, you know what, I can't do this, but I see Him come and do it. So now I have something in my life that I look at and I say, you know what, that's God, and I have to submit to that. I have to say, you know what, Lord, You want to use me that way, and I have to do it, because sometimes You don't want to. But I have to say, okay, I'll do that. And maybe you say, well, I don't know if Brother Tony can help or Brother Daniel can help or whatever. But you find out that there's channels that God has anointed, and those things come, and God is providing eternal leadership through these channels. It's the same way with parents. God anoints that parent to help that child in a way that nobody else could. And it's funny, you know, it's kind of funny that people are so easy to go find someone else that they want to talk to and get counsel from, somebody that doesn't even know them. Children will do it. They talk to their friends or whatever. Do you really think that there's someone else out there that's better equipped to help you than the channel that God has put before you? You really think that you know that somebody besides mom and dad can really do better? That's why when you see people put on Facebook, they'll ask, well, I want to do this. What do y'all think? You just ask the whole world to give their opinion. They don't know you. Some of them may not hadn't even seen you before, probably. And you want their opinion? You see what I mean? That's what people are doing in the message. They're going to someone else. They don't know. They've never met. He don't know them. Asking his opinion. Going to Mr. Facebook or Mr. YouTube to find out what somebody thinks about Brother Branham. But the concept of God is that God puts people in your life. It's not some Mr. So-and-so that you've seen on the web. It's not him. There's no contact with him. There's no pressure between you and him. There's no way that he can put anything upon you that can mold like your day-to-day life with your brothers and sisters and with your family. There's the molding power of God more than anything. Right there. You know why? Because if that man lives in that house across the street over there has a problem with me, if he doesn't like me, I just go home and forget about it. I'm using as an example. But what if it's my own wife that's got a problem with me? How easy is it for me to walk away from that? I can't. So you see, it's those right here. It's those channels, those close channels, that's actually channels of leadership that God has dropped into your life to affect you. That even little kids are part of the molding and making power of their parents. The pastor of the church, the minister of the church, they are part of that. And all I'm saying today is that it's here. There is channels of eternal leadership that's here among us all. And all I'm saying is, realize that. Realize that, and don't look at any person like they're God, they're infallible, that don't do that. What am I saying? Look at them and say, oh, they're a bunch of chaos. Look at all the chaos in their life and everything just like all through the ages. But fall back to the Word of God and throw yourself to that to say, but God is in it. And God is here to speak to me through that life and through the interaction with that life, especially those in leadership before me, ahead of me. That there may be chaos, but God is speaking. And when we find that channels, those channels of inspiration, and throw ourselves to that, you'll find that God meets you. So here's what I'm saying. When you come to me, if you come for counsel or something like that, or to some other brother in ministry or whatever, you do that. Don't come to us looking to us as some great ones in ourselves. You come solely on the fact that God said that He has set in the church apostles, prophets, that He has sent gifts, that there is a channel here among you that God said He'd meet you in, and if you can approach that channel properly, God will meet you in that. And it might be your brother, your sister, it might be your parents, whatever it is, but you approach that properly, God will speak to you in that, infallibly speak to you in that, because He's obligated to. He's obligated to do that. When this scripture says right here that you do service to that master as unto Christ, you think God's not going to get in that after He's told us to do it? God's going to get right in the middle of that. If we do that properly, God will get in there, and it'll, next thing you know, that man who has submitted to that master and done it the way the Bible said, you'll find out that man winds up being the shop foreman over the whole thing in just a little bit. Because he took the right attitude. But first, by what? By first following properly, then he becomes a good leader. Amen. And that's the way that concept works. Now, I've said all that to bring it down to this one reality that we have. That there are much people out there. They need something that they can really follow that's being led right. That's what we need. We want to make sure that what people see in us is something they can really sink their teeth into and they can follow, that it'll lead them right to what they need, to lead them to the paths of righteousness. We must realize the Holy Ghost is in the midst of the people, and that every thought you have is subject to God being in the midst of it to lead you and guide you. And we want to have fervency. We want to have a lot of passion in what we do. This is the thing that Laodicea wants you to be asleep, or not necessarily completely asleep, but to be kind of groggy. That's what Laodicea wants. So that in everything you do, you don't do it fervently. You're not total slacker, but you don't do it fervently. That's what the effect of Laodicea is. And so what I'm saying is that to recognize these things and engage the concept that God has said, I am here to lead you and guide you, and you are interacting with all these channels around you, to throw yourself to that concept. In other words, if it come time that you needed to come to counseling and before your ministry, go believing that it's not the man, but God will meet me in that. If the children have a problem, go to your parents. And go believing that God will speak the perfect will of God to you through that channel, and He will. Amen. He will do it, because He promised to, and He shows us in His Word. When He tells you to go do something, you can be for sure that He's going to meet you in that. As we read in the Scripture, He said for you to know that whatsoever good man doth, he's going to receive the same of the Lord. He didn't say Christian. If you'll do right, you're going to receive the same from the Lord. Right? So if we fall into these channels of things like that, God will meet you there. And so, do it with a passion. Do it with fervency. Do it with desperation. If you find out that you're too, you know, that you're not really fervent on it, ask God for it. Because we've got to have passion. I don't want to be a stuffed shirt, and you don't either. I don't know what the official meaning of that means, but I'll tell you what, if I have somebody I want to go to and I want to talk to them, and I've got something I've got to hash out, I need some answers. I don't want to walk up to a shirt that's been stuffed with straw or something, and a pair of pants and shoes, and like a scarecrow that's just stuffed with something. You're not going to get anything out of that. We don't want to be that way. We want to be a people that God can come to and they don't find a stuffed shirt that's full, looks real, looks like it's everything, but there's no beating heart in there. We want to be something that God can, that people can come to and they can actually interact with us and get the needs, their answers from. And so Laodicea is designed to make it be the other way. But we don't want to be that way. We want to have passion and a fervency and a desperation to do the will of God and to let these things work the way He wants them to. We don't want to be halfway or about anything. We want to be diligent. So I'll end by saying this. Whatever Laodicea is trying to tell you, you should do, do the opposite. Because Laodicea wants you to be just kind of, you know, well, we'll just go to church. Yeah, I'll just kind of mention something to my neighbor about the Lord. That's one reason why Brother Daniel has so much stuff going on around him, because he does it in fervency. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, my makeup's not necessarily that way. Can you pray fervently? Can you get out and pray? You can say, Lord, you know, and you're praying, and can you say to yourself, you know, I'm really not broke into that channel like I really ought to be. God, and break through. Push. Amen. Until you break through, until that super anointing comes down upon you. Can you do that? Can we say, instead of just going to your boss and say, you know, good morning or whatever, be fervent about it. Let that man know that the best person that walked into the shop that day is you.
Amen.
You know? I'm not talking about being haughty, but I'm talking about being fervently genuine to what God has called us to be in this hour. Go to your parents with fervency. Pour out to your children. Get down on your knees with tears in your eyes. You have to. And tell them the truth about the gospel. Don't just kind of mention it in passing. Be real about it. That's what I'm talking about. God has sent eternal leadership into our lives to make the differences. And I want to recognize that in my life. I want you to recognize it in your life. That God will meet you in those things that He's established. First and foremost, in the Word of God. Amen. That God has called. He called a prophet to the age. To take that Word. I want you to understand this. This Word that's the standard. But you don't have what it takes to grasp that standard in yourself, because God didn't make you a direct channel to that. But God said, I'll tell you what, in this day especially, God says, now, but I have a channel for you. And it starts out as I'm going to have a prophet. And that prophet is going to be between you and that word. And he's going to take the mysteries and the things that you need for this day, and he's going to bring them out of that word and deliver them and pass them on to you. So he's part of that channel. And we go to that channel and say, God, speak to me what I need, because it's there. It's there. And you have ministry there that's in that channel. And your parents are there in that channel. And all those things are there. And God will unleash the power of that word to your life through those channels if you recognize it. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Those channels are channels of eternal leadership to bring the eternal presence of God and His power and His word to you. Let's let the musicians come. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, what a tremendous time we live in. Lord, that chaos that's all around in the world the way it is. Lord, you promised that you'd have a people. You promised that you'd come down and meet us, Lord, in thy word. And as we've already seen, Lord, we know that it doesn't lie within us, God, to conquer our enemies. It doesn't lie within us to be victorious, but it's in you, Lord. And God, that you have sent your word, you sent your channels of inspiration, you sent these forms of leadership into our life. And I pray, God, that you would help us to recognize them, interact with them fervently, Lord, that your purpose would be done, Lord, as a living people who live and breathe and believe the very word that they profess to believe, Lord, that those things would be real and true and they would be manifesting in their life in great ways, Lord. God, as your prophet said, you hate a powerless religion. What does that mean? Lord, that to me means a religion that can't change lives. A religion that can't take away the bondage and the sin and the habits and clean up a people and make them a righteous people. And Lord, this world is full of things like that, but God, you have delivered in thy word, Lord, a powerful gospel that's still able to change lives. Lord, we just pray that you would come upon us as a people, that we would pack that kind of gospel. Lord, that others around us would just, their lives would be totally submitted and smitten and surrendered, oh God, to the power of your presence in our lives, Lord. But God, before we can lead properly, we have to follow properly. Ask God that you'd help us to be good followers. Follow the leader. Follow thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's sing a song for the Tim Hans one. Where he leads me, I'll follow. Okay, that's fine.
Where he leads me,
we'll follow.
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go through the garden. I'll go says, I'll go with him through the judgment. You know that's what he's doing now.
That's right.
And the ministry of the word is to take you through the judgment, to purify you, to take anything out of you that doesn't belong. You know, in that parable with the tares and the wheat, that's what that actually says. And I know that's a little bit different side of the same thing, but it's when he said he would come with his angel. And he would gather everything out of his kingdom that offends. You realize that's what he does to us. And he comes and he finds us, but he sends forth his word, he sends forth his messengers, and they come to you and they take out of your experience everything that's not like him, leaving just pure righteousness that he's provided. And that's what he gathers. That's what he gathers into the barn. He doesn't gather the tares, he doesn't gather the chaff, he doesn't gather all those things that's chaotic, but the part that he came for, the part that he's been working on, that's the part he takes with him. And he takes that into the barn, which we know to be rapture. And so that's what God's doing to you and I. He come to us, take away those things that are not like him. And we thank him for that. So he takes us through the judgment. He takes us through that garden of Gethsemane ourselves. The place where we have to come right there and we have to kneel right there and say, God, I have a choice. I can either do it my way or I can do it your way. And it's there to help you through that point. And then the verse says he gives us grace and he gives us glory. He gives us the grace to walk when we make mistakes. And he gives us his glory as we walk with him. So it's a glorious gospel. I'm glad that we know it. Glad that you know it. Just want to remember the services this next weekend. Brother Tom Morris has got a really, really good testimony he shared with me a few weeks ago when I met him and talked with him, spent some time with him. And he's got a wonderful testimony, and I asked him to come share it with you. And some of you may not make a whole lot too, but to me it was tremendous, and it's a testimony that will show you just what God can do. When a man falls, how God can lift him up. No matter how far he falls, God can lift him up and bring him back among the delivering. And so I asked that brother to come, and he's I guess, done missionary work all around the world, different places, and I just really enjoyed his spirit. So let's remember that next Saturday night, 6 p.m., and Sunday morning, regular time. Remember our picnic to next Saturday.
from 10 to 3. We just pick those times. It'd be up to you, come and go. But the sisters will be working out the details about anything that's going to be brought, what we're going to do, that sort of thing. And those who have children, we will determine a time sometime this week about what time to come with the bicycles and that sort of thing. So they can, we can have plenty of time there to do that. It's something that we can do that children enjoy, and the, some of the big guys need to do it too. It's good for me too. So you want to do that. And also, we mentioned, it's been some time ago, I mentioned a little bit about midweek service, about having midweek service. And I was telling Brother Daniel this morning, I could just be honest with you, you know, I remember hearing Perry Green say something one time, and this is, I thought was, I think is a pretty good approach, but Brother Perry said that someone came to him one time and said, you know, Brother, you're always saying we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we never did it. So I just, you know, Brother Perry said, well, that's because you don't understand my program. He said, my program is this, that when I feel like that there's something we should do, then I will say to the people, I will announce it, we want to do thus and thus. And he said, man, and if the people don't rally around that, then I say, well, then I miss God on that one. And you might say, well, think about it, but what's a pastor for? It's to help the people. And if he's helping, the people are going to rally around it. Right?
Sure.
And so he said, you know, and I say, well, I must have missed God on that because they're not responding. But then if they do respond, then that's what you see happening because that's the thing that they're in. And they you know, they feel blessed by it. And I thought it's pretty good. And so I mentioned some time ago about having midweek service and wanted to, one in some comments on that from people. And so I'm casting that out again. Yeah, but I really feel like, and I realize there are some of you that can't come. I know that. But we can't come here if we don't have people coming. But if you want to come, I think it'd be good for us to have a midweek service. We've wanted to do, talked about it. But so I didn't get a whole lot of comments. That doesn't mean that people weren't interested in that. It just mean that nobody came and said anything about it. But Brother Daniel had mentioned that he was very interested in it. My wife was interested in it. But so midweek service, I think, would be good. It may not be in the form of a full-fledged service. It might be a Bible study situation. I don't know. We'll see how it works, but I need some feedback from you. And but I realize also that if I don't get much feedback from you on it, or if I do, whatever, there are times whenever I need to say, I feel led to do such and such, and we're going to do that. And so I think that we're probably moving in the direction for midweek service one way or the other. But I would like to hear from you because we do need to know what night to have it on, that sort of thing. And so I am willing to try and do it to accommodate what the people need. That's what I wanted to get together with you on. And so I know I don't like talking about things after service when we get through, but some, you know, there's some things that you want to share, and sometimes we have, you know, we have things we have to talk about. But anyway, please let me know what your thoughts are on midweek service and what would work for you. If you can come, if you can't come, if you're all for it, but you don't know if you can make it, I want to know about that too. Okay? So God bless you. You have a wonderful day of fellowship, wonderful week, and we'll be seeing you at the picnic next week. God bless you.